All right, brethren, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Now, Paul, he wrote of those who gloried in the flesh. He said in verse 11, "You see how large a letter I've written to you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh." And then Paul declares the believer's rule by which we walk. He says in verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." The subject is the believer's rule. The believer's rule. The believer glories only in Christ, only in the cross of Christ. It's through the cross of Christ that we've been given faith, to walk by faith. It's through the cross of Christ we've been given love in our heart, constrained by the love of Christ for us. So we glory only in the cross of the Christ. We are motivated to good works by the cross of the Christ, cross of Christ, by his love for us. We're called by his gospel, by the preaching of the cross of Christ. We're strengthened by it. We're moved by it. We're taught by it. We're rebuked by it. This is our rule, is glorying only in Christ of the cross, Christ and him crucified. Our confidence is not in the flesh. Nothing done in the body, nothing done that's not done in the body avails. Circumcision nor uncircumcision, that is, anything done in the body is not availing. What avails is to be found in Christ, to be made new by Christ, to be entirely saved by the doing and dying of Christ, our Redeemer. To be created anew is to be created in his righteousness, in his holiness, which is in him. It's all of him. It's in him. And Paul said, as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. That's the true Israel of God who walk by this rule. Now, our rule is to walk by faith, and that is glorying only in Christ, only in the cross of Christ, because Christ made us a new creation, a new creature. It's the only way we can glory in Christ and give him all the glory and look to him and walk by faith is by him making us entirely new. It's by circumcision in the Spirit, in the new birth, that we're made new. And he speaks of it as circumcision because it's what bodily circumcision pictured. It pictured the putting away of the flesh. It's circumcision in the heart, cutting away the filth of the fleshly sin nature by the Spirit. And that brings us to faith in Christ, to behold that circumcision made without hands by Christ, whereby he put away all the body of sin of his people. He said in Colossians 2, "You're complete in him." And it said, "In whom you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." We're talking about spiritual work, salvation by Christ, whereby he put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We died in him, we're buried in him, and we rose in him. And the result's a new creation. It's all of our Redeemer. All of our Redeemer. We begin glorying only in the cross of Christ. We begin glorying in Christ. He really does become our salvation. And we begin glorying only in the cross of Christ, the preaching of his gospel, trusting Christ to work. Now, Paul once was glorying in appearance. He once gloried in the flesh. He once gloried in appearance, not in heart. He once just had carnal judgment. He just had temporal judgment. He didn't have spiritual discernment. And he gloried in appearance. He gloried in the flesh. He didn't glory in the heart. Now he does. Now he's preaching Christ and him crucified because Christ is all his salvation. Now he's resting in Christ. Now he wants to see sinners brought to faith in Christ. He's willing to suffer. He's willing to bear whatever he has to bear from the enemies who hate the gospel. They call him whatever they want to and treat him however. He's willing to bear that by the love of Christ, by the power of Christ working in him. Because he's experienced this gospel now. He's experienced this power of Christ putting away his sin and bringing him to rest in Christ. He wants that for others. He wants it for others. Now he's suffering. He's being persecuted. He's being rejected. But he's still long-suffering. He's patient. He's waiting on the Lord. Now, Paul, at the end of this letter, he seems like he had gotten a little bit worked up by the end of this letter. But he's still pointing sinners to Christ. He wants them to rest in him because Christ's the only one that made the difference. It's only the grace of God in Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. This is Paul's message in every letter. And he'd been talking here in 2 Corinthians about the Lord's people being the epistle of Christ. But there were still many enemies. They were, as much as Paul tried not to give any men reason to charge him, they still did. And he says here in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 5:12, he says, we commend not ourselves again unto you. He had done that to some degree in the first epistle of Corinthians. He said, we're not doing that. But what we're doing is giving you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. This is what Paul was preaching against in the churches at Galatia, was glorying in appearance rather than in heart. They accused Paul of being too fanatical. They accused him of being beside himself. And they accused him of being too sober-minded, too dogmatic, too strict, because he preached Christ and him crucified. But he said, it's for your cause. It's for your cause. Verse 14, here's why. For the love of Christ constraineth us. He's talking here specifically about the ministers of Christ, but this is true of all God's people. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. Here's the discernment. That if one died for all, Christ died for all his people, then we're all dead. We were all dead in sin, but in that he died for all his people, now all his people have died in Christ. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, here's the result of this spiritual discernment, this work of Christ in the heart. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Now, some think Paul knew Christ when he was Saul of Tarsus. Some think he was the rich young ruler. But now Paul knew Christ in spirit. Now, whether that's so or not, I don't know. But I was reading this one commentary from one of the old writers, and he illustrates this very well in what Paul is saying here about not knowing after the flesh anymore, but now knowing after the Spirit. He said, when Paul knew Christ after the flesh, he considered Christ the leader of a new sect, the leader of a new party, a menace to holy religion. He says we don't see him like that anymore. We know him now in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And that sort of illustrates what this thing is, this radical change of having spiritual discernment. It's how believers regard one another. We used to be religious. We used to know men and women in the flesh, after the flesh. We used to glory in appearance. The emphasis was on the outward. The emphasis was on works of the flesh and hearing the preaching of works. Now we glory in Christ alone in the heart. In the heart. We have spiritual discernment to behold Christ, and we know him now in spirit and in truth. And we glory in the heart. That has some effect on us outwardly. It makes Paul do what he was doing here. It made him lay down his life and his religion and everything he loved before and count it dung and risk his life and all this cruel treatment he was getting to preach Christ. Our confidence, though, is not in things seen with the carnal eye. It's in things seen only by faith. Nothing of the flesh avails. Nothing of the flesh avails. The things that we do bodily, the fruit of the Spirit that we look at and we see in others, it avails as far as helping one another and trying to preach the gospel to one another. But these things don't avail in our salvation. They're not adding to anything Christ has done. Nothing done in the flesh is going to take away from anything Christ has done. Our salvation is in Christ, entirely in Christ. And not only does not the works of our flesh avail in a positive way to help us in salvation, but there's nothing done in the flesh of one Christ has made new that's going to avail to change what Christ has made us by his person and his work. And the Lord's not going to let us be overly cast down by our sin and our infirmities. And he's just not going to let his child fall away in apostasy. He's going to keep you crying out to him, coming to him, and having all your confidence in him. It's just what he's going to do. Now we thus judge. Now we judge because the Spirit's given discernment. Now we use discernment. That's what he's saying. Faith to see things not seen with the carnal eye. Now the love of Christ is our constraint. Now the love of Christ is our constraint. We see this old man with his deeds and ourselves. And we see the sin, the thoughts, and the wrestlings we have with this sinful flesh daily. But we have this good news that this old man, this body of sin, has been crucified in Christ. Before God, he's dead. Before God, he's been judged, and he's died in Christ. He's dead. And we know that about one another. And not only that, but this earthly tent that we live in. I talked to my parents. I talked to other believers that are up in years. And you know, we experience this a little bit throughout our life, but then as you get older, it just this body, just one thing after another, starts breaking down. It's just trouble, one after another, one thing after another. But here's the good news. This body is not availing in a positive way or a negative way. We're going to put it off. We have a body awaiting that Christ has made, a new body. And we're looking for that eternal home in the heavens. That's what we're looking for. The world is crucified to us and we to the world. Everything about ourselves that we once had confidence in, we don't have confidence in it now. Our confidence is Christ. And all the things of this world that enamor us and that are so often pulling us and trying to get us to put confidence in them, we're learning little by little. The Lord's going to see to it we get this, that those things don't avail. They just don't. It's interesting when you read our Lord said, no man can serve God and mammon. That word mammon, it's treasure. It's anything carnal that is a treasure to us that we put our confidence in. But that word's an Aramaic word originally, and the word means confidence. It's confidence. We just can't have confidence in Christ alone and have confidence in some carnal thing, be it in us, done by us, or be it money or the world or whatever it is. You can't have confidence in two places at once. And the Lord's He's made you in your inner man to have all your confidence in Christ. And He's going to keep teaching us, keep teaching us that we're worshiping in spirit, rejoicing in Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. And He's going to keep weaning us and teaching us this. Christ, by His life and His death and His resurrection, has made all God's elect a new creation in Him. He's done that. And by His Spirit, when He creates a new man within us, there is really a new birth. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We still can't glory in the new birth. The new birth doesn't make you glory in yourself. No fruit of the Spirit makes you glory in yourself. That's contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit keeps you glorying only in Him. The purpose of all the exhortations and all the things Paul had to stop preaching, and he had to write and deal with these things, because the purpose of all of them is to have us looking to Christ, just like the brazen serpent, looking to Him, and away from everything else, away from ourselves, away from our brethren, away from this world, seeking those things which are above, having our affection set on things above. And the end of every trial, every exhortation, everything is this. It's the end purpose for which we preach this gospel. That lost sheep that He first creates anew inwardly and makes you hear the gospel, makes you see there's nothing in yourself but whereby you can be saved, brings you to Christ to rest in Him. That's the end that we're striving for. You're brought to Christ and you have all your confidence in Him. Well, throughout our life, the rest of the time, Paul's goal in Galatia here, when he was preaching to the Galatians, his goal, he was not trying to get them just not to be circumcised. That wasn't his goal. Whether they were circumcised or not, that didn't avail. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to have them shut up to Christ alone, to be restored to Him alone. He knew that was the only way they were going to put away the biting and devouring. And this is why from the beginning of it, he started the letter saying, Christ has come and He saved us by His blood from this present evil world. And all through the epistle, that's what he kept pointing them. He kept pointing them to what Christ has done. And his whole point through chapter 5 and through chapter 6 is, this is not going to be done by compelling and coercing. It's not going to be done by strength of hand. It's not going to be done by the preaching of precepts and law. It's going to be done by glorying in the Christ and Him crucified, the preaching of the gospel. And it's going to be done by the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of God that wrestles against our sin nature. We don't overcome our sin nature. It's a capital S he speaks about. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because when the Spirit of God turns you to Christ and truly just fills your heart with the glory of Christ, to see that you're really there with Him, this thing is really accomplished, you're really saved by His righteousness, you're really holy in Him, you're really separated out, God doesn't receive your sin anymore, He doesn't remember it anymore, and He bears witness to this in your spirit. Those are some sweet, sweet time. And you can't think about the flesh. You can't worry about the flesh. You can't pamper the flesh. All you're concerned about when He does this is Him. Just Him. And that's the goal. That's where Paul wanted to see sinners brought to walk by faith, not by sight. And he says, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And this is what he means. This is exactly what he means. We're not glorying in appearance anymore. We're worshiping God in spirit now. This is what it is to be new, a new creation. Flesh don't do this. Flesh does nothing but glory in appearance. Flesh does nothing but it's just concerned about what others see. That's it. But a new creation, I don't want others to be offended, but it's what God thinks. That's what matters. And God knows the heart. And God looks on the heart. And this is why you can just open your heart to God and confess everything to him. Because do you not find this, brethren, that you're constantly, constantly praying, Lord, please save me. Please save me. Don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be walking after my flesh. I don't want to sin. I hate sin. Lord, give me strength. Give me power to look to Christ and to behold him and to walk after him. But Lord, whatever you do, view me in Christ. Find me in your Son, robed in his righteousness. This is what a new creation does. You wholly cast upon God. You're wholly dependent upon his mercy. You're wholly dependent upon his power. You're looking to the head, to Christ the head, who gives all nourishment into the new man, who makes you to grow up into him. Therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. These old things of glorying in appearance and judging after the flesh and putting confidence in the flesh, availing in some way. Behold, all things are become new. And look at this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who gets the glory in this new creation? God in Christ gets the glory. Who got the glory in the first creation? We weren't anywhere around, were we? Who got the glory for making the heavens and the earth and all things that are in them? First verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this new creation is entirely the work of our Lord, beginning to end. He's the life of it, the holiness of it, the righteousness of it. He's the perfection of it. Our completion is in him, the triune God in Christ. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work is all of him. Whenever John saw New Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, when he saw Christ sitting on the throne, the Lamb. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Ephesians 2, look over there with me. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, this new man is to be in Christ. It's to be everything that was done in and by Christ. And the new man in you is Christ in you. We can't glory in the new man within us. The righteousness and holiness of the new man is Christ. Look here, Ephesians 2:13. We were separated, we were alienated, Gentiles cast out. And he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace, who made both his elect Jew and Gentile. He made us both one. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man. See that? That new man is, he made us in him one new man. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. See, we weren't around when this new creation was being made. Christ on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and then he came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. He said over in Isaiah 65:17, I create a new heavens and a new earth. That new heavens and new earth are his people. It's his people. He will create a new heaven and a new earth, but he's creating his people anew, entirely anew by him. The former shall not be remembered. God doesn't remember the former in you, his people, now. He says, I don't remember your sins. And he's going to make it so we don't remember. It won't come into mind, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. It's Christ by his blood. It's Christ by coming down and bearing the sin of his people and putting that sin away and making us righteous in him. It's all of Christ. Faith's confidence is Christ alone. It's not my flesh. It's not your flesh. It's Christ alone. Christ's power and his wisdom and his righteousness. Christ redeemed his people. Christ robes us in his righteousness. Christ sanctifies us by the washing of water by the word. Christ keeps us, and Christ shall present us to himself without spot and blemish. It's all in Christ. This new creation. So the rule we're walking by and the love wherewith we love sinners is Christ. It's the glory of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. It's Christ himself. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. We hear of his faithfulness and his great love for his people and laying down his life. That's the constraint. Isn't that the constraint? Isn't that what makes you want to walk after him, is hearing how he loved you? When there was no cause in you? Works of faith are worked in us by his love for his people, not by any other constraint. It's all made effectual, and it continues by the Spirit of God. It's all through the preaching of this glorious gospel of our Redeemer. Paul said, as many as walk according to this rule. There were some in Galatia who weren't walking according to this rule. They were wanting to, you're going to have to conform to us or else. And that's not a true willingness. When you're compelled by others, it's not a true willingness of the heart. Love is what makes you willing in your heart. And Peter experienced that. You know how Peter got up from the table and went over to the other? Why did he do that? Just what Paul said. Why do men not preach Christ crucified? They're fearful of persecution. Why did Peter get up and go to that other table? He was afraid of the persecution, the rejection he'd get from those Jewish fellows that came down. So he got up, moved over. That can affect us. He's going to make his people stand with Christ and rejoice only in Christ and use only the gospel of Christ. And he's not going to let us turn back to the old leaven of the Pharisees and start using the law and that spirit of the law. And this is the believer's rule of life. He said, as many as walk according to this rule. We're walking by faith in Christ, glorying only in the cross of Christ, working by love, by Christ's love for us. It's through the means of the gospel. This was Abel's rule. Scripture said Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. This was Abel's rule. This was Enoch's rule. He had the testimony that he pleased God. Only one way you can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He had the testimony he pleased God. This was Noah's rule. He became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. This was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's rule. They were heirs of promise. This was Sarah's rule. This is how she walked. She judged him faithful who had promised. And not one of them had the Ten Commandments given at Mount Sinai. People who say the Ten Commandments are the believer's rule of life. Paul's saying here, the gospel of Christ and him crucified is the believer's rule of life. It's being made new by Christ so that you walk by faith in Christ, constrained by his love, not by law. Paul gloried in the cross because it's only in the person and work of Christ Jesus that we behold the full display and character of God. Folks will say that you read the Ten Commandments, that's the character of God. I beg your pardon. It's not. It's not. The law's holy, the law's just, the law's good. But there's no mercy in the law. There's no mercy in the law. God's merciful. God's mercy is beheld in Christ on the cross, dying in place of his people. That's where you see the character of God in Christ. God is love. There's no love in the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. But God is love. But if you come to God in the law, you're not going to experience love. It's cold and unyielding and unbending. It's just going to pour out justice. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It's Christ crucified where you see the character of God's love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. It's that love right there, beholding his love, that constrains us to love. It is the love of the heart. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What'd he do? He laid down his life for us when we were ungodly. That's what we ought to do for one another when we're ungodly. That's the constraint of his people. There's no grace in the law. There's no grace in the law. Come to God in the law, you won't find grace. Oh, but in Christ, fulfilling that law and satisfying his holy justice and honoring and justifying his people freely because he loved us by his grace, there you see the character of God. See, we learn these things looking to Christ. Looking to Christ, all God's glory is seen in the face of Christ. In that beginning of that new that old creation, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And it's the same in his new creation. He says, let there be light, and he shines the light of Christ, and it's in the face of Christ that we behold the glory of God. That's where you see the character of God. So the believer's rule is the law written on the heart in the new birth. What is that? What is that law written on the heart in the new birth? Paul said in Romans 2 that fallen sinners have the law written on their conscience. They accuse and excuse one another. People know when soon as Cain committed murder, he didn't have the law of murder, but he knew he had done wrong. He tried to hide it. What's the law God writes on the heart when he saves you? When he gives you a new heart? Paul called it the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the new covenant. It's the gospel. It's the everlasting covenant of grace. It's the law of faith whereby we believe God. It's the law of righteousness whereby we behold Christ is the only one who ever fulfilled the law. And he's our righteousness. It's the law of liberty whereby you see Christ your Redeemer has freed you and you'll never again be brought into slavery. He won't permit it. It's the law of love, the law of Christ, Paul called it in this chapter, where he bore the burden of our sin and restored us to God. That's the law of Christ. And he said, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And it is. It is. Christ makes his child walk by this rule, and his peace is on us, and his peace rules our hearts. The peace of God rules our heart. Christ has made peace for us, and this is the peace that rules our heart. How does it rule your heart? Because you know, if somebody's warring against you, you'll war back because you're flesh, but God's going to speak, and he's going to turn you to him, and he's going to bring peace in your heart. He's going to settle you down, and he's going to make you to remember, if he wrought peace for me when I was just an ungodly rebel, and he's kept peace in my heart all this time. Whatever my brother, my sister needs, he can work peace in their heart. And he can rule their heart in peace and make them rejoice in his peace. He can do that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to glory in the cross of Christ. I'm going to speak the gospel of Christ to them, pray for them, wait on Christ to work in their heart, and look for every opportunity I can to show them, I love you. I want peace. I don't remember anything past yet today. Just like God said, I remember your sin no more. And he said, and mercy be on them. And it is. We need mercy every day. And his mercy's on us continually. They're new every morning and they never cease because he delights in mercy for Christ's sake. And he makes us delight in it. And Paul said, these are the Israel of God. The Israel of God is not that nation over there, brethren. The Israel of God is no particular nation in this world. The Israel of God are those God chose in Christ. Christ redeemed, the Spirit of God regenerates, and God's going to save everlastingly in his Son. The Israel of God, he says, are those who walk according to this rule, finding all their glory in Christ alone. Christ alone. That's the children of Abraham by faith. That's what he said in Galatians 3:29. You're all the children of Abraham by faith. What does that mean? He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Circumcision is not that outward in the flesh. Circumcision is in the heart, in spirit. Not in the letter, in spirit, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Of God. And so Paul said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. Don't let any man try to stop the progress of this gospel. Don't let any man try to rail on me and throw accusations at me and try to turn my brethren from me. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He bore the marks that Christ bore. Why did Christ bear the marks of the cross as far as men are concerned? Because they hated him. And Paul bore some marks like that in his own body because men hated him because of Christ who he preached. From scourging and persecution and whips and all of that, he bore that. But he bore something else that all his people bear. He bore that Father's name in his forehead that we saw. He had the mind of Christ. We've been given the Spirit of God so that we know the things that are freely given to us of God. So that we have discernment to glory only in Christ and walk after Christ. You have faith, you have hope, you have charity. And this is all owing to the glory of Christ. Nothing we can boast in. It's all of him. That's our rule, brethren. Christ Jesus, our Lord. We glory in Christ, walk by faith, constrained by love. Amen. Look at that last verse there, brethren. He knew he had brethren there at Galatia. And he said, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what's going to do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with what? Be with your body. Be with your spirit. Be with your spirit. Amen.